Good morning, Church of the Nazarene of Fortuna. Welcome. Way cool. My favorite guys are here. Love it. That is way cool. Thank you, Linda, for bringing the boys. I mean the men. All right. With that, we're going to have Brother Ron come up and do our opening prayer and just share a few things.
Good morning, church family. I got some information to share with you before we open in prayer. Thursday night, we had a meeting with, I don't have my hearing aids on, Cookie. She's giving me hand signals. Thursday night, we had a meeting with the assistant to the DS, district superintendent. And I just want to let you know that the process of finding another pastor is going forward. Matter of fact, before it even got opened up, there was two applicants for... things are happening. So it's probably not going to be a real fast process, but we are moving forward with that. So I want to take this opportunity to have all the board members stand up so you guys know who they are. So we're working for you guys, and we just believe that the Lord's going to give us guidance and direction as we move forward with that. So I also just want to let you know, so you're not surprised, we're actually going to have, because the Albert, the district superintendent, actually, because we needed some people to come in and help us with the speaking, we're actually going to have some women speakers on August 20th, August 27th, September 3rd, and September 17th. So the district attorney actually filled those spots because we needed them filled. And just to let you know, heads up, they're going to be filled by women. The district attorney had the DS fill those positions. Thank you. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for laughter, and even when we make mistakes, Father, you still love us. We just pray that your Holy Spirit, Father, would just be here today as we come to glorify your name. It's not about us, it's about you. We're just so thankful that we get to participate in what you're doing. So help us, Lord Jesus, to keep our eyes on you as we move into a new season at the Church of the Nazarene of Fortuna, Father. I just pray that we would all be in prayer about the person that you would have to come and be our overseer. I just pray that you'd be with Susan today, Father, as she ministers to us in song. Father, that we just lift up our voices. Father, that you'd fill our hearts with your love. Also be with Fred and Vic as he brings the word today, Lord Jesus, that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, our Naz duo is ready to come up. And we have a trio, or sometimes there's four, or sometimes there's even kids, which we look forward to. So, but I just want to thank them that they step up to bring us that worship time and just love on us back. So, and it does get exhausting because there's a lot of prep time that goes with it and things like that. And I appreciate our sound team back there for all they do for their presentations as well. So thank you. Thank you all.
I want to say really quick about those kids. In our children's church classes, we are working on a memory verse today. It's going to go home with your kids. and a song that we're going to sing in a few weeks. We'll get this memory verse down, so everybody in Children's Church is going to get that today. So we're excited about that. And then the kids are going to share their memory verse and a song with us in a few weeks. All right. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. It's a great way to start the morning.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will
enter his courts with praise.
I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen. Count your blessings.
Billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The cross seem heavy, you are called to bear. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings. Conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. See what God
I wish Jen Johnson was here singing with me today. This is her song. We know her. Used to be Jen Rock. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, yes. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running, it's running after me. Your goodness is running, it's running after me. Your goodness is running, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, give you everything. Your goodness is running, keeps running after me. This is my desire to so much.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. God is so good. Heavenly Father, we look to you for our strength. We look to you for mercy. Lord, we look for you for comfort. We appreciate that you love us in a personal way. It's not one of us being a conduit for anybody here. It's about you and us together. And I love that about you. And as the body of Christ, we come along each other and support each other and love on each other, pray for each other, and help each other. I just love that part about you. You are a God that shows up, and that's a beautiful thing. We thank you for your word being a living word. We read through the foundation of what your word gives us. It gives us strength, power, and life. And we also are thankful, Lord, that you're doing stuff with this body. So we thank you. We give you all the glory. And we thank you that we get to walk alongside you through this process. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so very good. I got to hear another testimony, and I thank God for the intervention to protect a couple in our church. So God is good, right? So there's so many things that are happening where God is intervening, encouraging us, walking alongside us, sending us a friend at the right time. And I just love his intervention that way. God is very active in our lives. Even sometimes we lose focus on that. He is right there for us. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Brother Vic, and he's going to bless us with some awesome stuff.
I heard a song years ago, but it rang so true in my heart that I want to speak about that message today, and it's called When Mercy Showed Up. I'm a person that have a lot of compassion for people. My granddaughters give me a hard time because we had an exchange student. I love her to death. She went back home. Well, you know, you kind of shed a tear of that. Well, those grandkids, they love, oh, Papa, you're so soft. You're so, I'm gonna move this away from me just a little. Yeah. I'm not used to this stuff. But anyway, so I, soft-hearted, I thank God for that. Not that I enjoy it that much when it hits me and I'm trying to explain to you something and then all of a sudden I'm choked up. But one thing I want to talk to you about today is when mercy showed up. Mercy showed up in my life in a very, very unique way. And I want to explain something about mercy before I do that. Mercy is compassion and forgiveness shown towards someone when they have the power to punish you. Mercy is something that when you find yourself guilty, someone can say, this is the punishment of that crime. And I've stood needing mercy in my life. And what I want to do, I'd like to explain this in a way that I hope that it'll help you realize that there is hope no matter how you feel inside, no matter how lonely you are inside. Sometimes we sit out here in a congregation and we get ourselves all cleaned up and we come to church. But the insides are hurting. There are situations in our life that we have no control over, and there's pain. So I'm going to open my life up a little bit. Hopefully you'll bear with that. But first of all, I would like to read a scripture. When we understand what mercy is, you know, you hear the word, but mercy is someone giving someone else a second chance. Mercy is not just, oh, it's mercy. No, it's when you don't deserve it, someone says, that's okay, we're going to give you a second chance. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the second chapter. And I want to read a few verses just to show you the love of Jesus that gives us this mercy. Ephesians 2, and I'd like to start in the first verse. And it kind of tells the story of who we are as people. It talks about our shortcomings, and it talks about the one that stands there ready to give us mercy. Because the only people that can give mercy are those that can cast judgment on you. The ones that can say, you're done. Or the ones that say, you know what, I'm going to show mercy. Second chapter, it says, and you made us alive, who were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the powers of the air and the spirit, who now works the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in lusts of the flesh, the fulfillments of desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were the children of wrath, just as the others. But then in the fourth verse he says, but God, here's the big word, we were guilty of sin from our very birth. We were born into it, but it said, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceedingly riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And in the 10th verse it says, for we are his workmanship. Isn't that exciting? When I looked at this and I heard this song, and it meant so much to me, and one of the things it says in this song, and I'll just have to, you don't have to worry about all these papers. Don't let them scare you. I'm wandering, okay? Gordon Moat sang this song, and I'd like you to listen to it after the message, because it really rang out to me. But you're going to hear this message, this song, through this message. I stood in the courtroom, and the judge turned my way. He said, it looks like you're guilty. What do you say? I spoke up, your honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. This helps us understand mercy. Mercy is when we have no defense. Mercy is when we're totally, here I am, you be my judge. I was a little boy. My mom and dad, they were teachers in Sunday school. I worshiped them as a kid. You know how it is. But I had good parents. But one of the things that happened was they started walking through the first part of this scripture and started getting into the worldly things. We didn't know that. But one night I was laying in bed. My mom. Now you have to understand, I came from a church that preached hellfire and brimstone, you know. You go, you smoke, you go to hell. You play cards, you go to hell. You go to the movies, you go to hell. You know, it was, but as a kid, I believed it. I do play cards now. I realize some of those things, but as a kid, I believed everything that they said. I was laying in bed, and one night, I was about 11 years old, my mom walked through smoking a cigarette. All I knew is people who smoked cigarettes went to hell. That she had taught me her whole life that, you know, what is good, what is right. I was just brokenhearted. And I don't know if you've been there. Someone hurt you so bad. Something happened. Then all of a sudden, about 3 minutes later, my dad walked through with a cigarette in his hand. I'm devastated. I wanted to die. That's how hurt I was. I wanted to die. I got out of bed and I ran out of the house. We had a freeway behind our house, and I was running to the freeway to get run over by a car. I figured that was it. I was a little kid, but I didn't know this, but my mom said, go catch him, told my dad. So my dad ran me down before I got there. So I came home, and I was devastated. And I tell you this story to kind of let you know that when you hear of these God things, like a God thing that happens, it's like, oh, I wish that would happen to me. Sometimes it can work against you. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, I went outside and I was questioning God. I was questioning everything as a kid because my family have just thrown all I knew away, that I thought. So I go outside, and my mom had a little rock, I don't know what you call them, and it had little chains on it, and you'd go in there and sit. It was just kind of a little area out in the back. And it was in the night, and I just looked up to God, and I said, God, I'm a little boy. I said, I don't even know if you exist. You know, I feel so bad. I've loved you all my life, you know, that's all I know. And it was like a beautiful angel appeared in the sky. And I looked up and I seen that. And I'm hurting. And God, in his way, in my heart, said, I love you. And I want you. You are mine. And it gave me, that was mercy. Mercy walked in and was pleading my case as a little boy. And immediately, I seen that, and what goes through my head was, that was just the clouds formed. It just happened. So here now, I'm starting to doubt it. You know, it all went away, and I'm like, well, maybe I just wanted to believe so bad. So I said, God, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking these thoughts that this just happened. I said, and it was a full moon. It was beautiful. But I said, if it's truly you, turn the moon black. As a little boy, I say that. It was like a big hand. Went across that, and the moon was there, and I never doubted again. But he said, I love you. Mercy walked into a heart, a little heart that wanted to die because he didn't trust. I went in the house and told my mom what I see, and she looked at me and she said, you're glowing. You're glowing. And I said, Jesus talked to me. But what happened? He took me at my lowest. And he stepped in and he took me and said, you have value. You're worth something. And when he did that, at that point as a kid, I knew that God was real. But I'm going to walk a little farther in my life. Well, I'm a little kid. Well, I go through life and I didn't stay with God. I walked away and did things that I shouldn't do. But God never, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Meaning that second chance was there for me and he didn't give up on me. I went away from the Lord and then I met a girl that I really liked. She was pretty and I thought, man, I'd like to get to know her. Well, she was a preacher's daughter. So that didn't help much, but there was a revival or something. I didn't know what it was, and I was at a basketball game. I went there because I knew they had the church thing. They were trying to get guys like me in there. So I went to this basketball game and seen her, and she said, "Hey, why don't you come with me? You know, why do the women can do that to us? Why don't you come to me to this meeting we have going on?" And I did. And it was a revival meeting. So I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting where they preach hellfire and brimstone. I mean, when they get right down, it's, you feel like you're going to turn or burn. That's how it kind of was. Well, when they were preaching, at the end of the message, they said, "There's five people here tonight that need to come to the Lord. You need to make a decision for Jesus tonight." And yeah, I'm a teenager, you know, I'm getting up there, and I'm like, I'm irritated. They brought me here on purpose. You know, it's like, and then she does that, and I grabbed hold of my bench. I don't know, I got a hold of it, and I'm hanging on. She said, "There's five people here," and I, you know what went through my mind? You kick a dog long enough, he'll bark. That's what's going through my mind. And I'm sitting here and I'm holding on. And there's a few went, you know, so it's like there's a countdown and it's like, oh no. So I don't remember getting up, but I was in the aisle. And they poked their finger at me like this and said, "I've been waiting for you all night." So immediately I go down and I start praying. You know what was going through my head? Every filthy thing I'd ever done. I felt so ungodly there at that pew. I thought, well, I'm here. But I felt so bad. And this is why I say the devil used that beautiful thing that happened to me as a boy. Said, "You've seen God. You've seen him in his glory. You've seen him in heaven. He did something for you that was so special, and you give up on that." He said, "You're mine now." Ha! You know what that makes you feel like? Do I have any chance? And I was praying as hard as I knew how to pray, "Forgive me." I said, "Forgive me," so many times that it's like, "Forgive me." There was a pastor came down, and he knelt beside me while I'm praying, and all I'm seeing is garbage. He said, "Vic, the devil is a father of all lies. And he will lie you into hell if you'll let him." And I'm like saying, "You're a liar." You know, I'm seeing this stuff and I'm saying, "You're a liar." All of a sudden, I felt like I looked down and I seen a swirl. It looked like a tornado, the top of a tornado. And this fire came out of that tornado and grabbed my ankles. Started pulling me down. And I'm like, "Oh God, if you're going to save me, you've got to save me now." And all of a sudden, the peace that came over me has never left me. It was a peace. The devil did all he could to deceive me by lying and pulling me down. But mercy pleaded my case at that altar. Mercy walked in, pleaded my case, called to the stand. God's saving grace. The blood was presented and covered my sins. The moment that mercy walked in, I stood in the courtroom. I was so guilty. How could this be that someone would come in and set my life free? When Jesus did this to me, he gave me a word that I needed to share. with people that are broken and are hurt. There's been lots of things in my life that have hurt me real bad. But because of his mercy, he took me in a place that I felt so hopeless, so undone, and he restored me to a place that I could let mercy have its place in my heart. And he changed me from then, and he is making me who I am. Not that I don't fail him at different times, but I've learned that his mercy is ever there. In Romans, or not in Romans, but in First Psalms 107:1, it said his mercy endures forever. And if you go back one verse, or one chapter, in Psalms 106, it says his mercy endures forever, meaning that he's always there. He always wants to take you where you are and change you. He says to be an imitator of me. If we are to be an imitator, what we have to do is give up our pain. We have to give up those things that have hurt us so bad. I want to read to you a story of a mother. She approached Napoleon, seeking pardon for her son. The emperor replied that this young man committed this certain offense twice, and he deserved death. And the woman said to Napoleon, "But I didn't ask for justice." The mother replied, "I plead for mercy." Napoleon said, "But your son doesn't deserve mercy." Napoleon replied, "But his mother said and cried out, it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I'm asking for." When the emperor said to this mother, "I have mercy, and I am going to set your son free." Mercy is something we don't deserve. Mercy is something that when we hear and we read mercy in the Bible, it's because of what Jesus did for us. He poured out his blood and offered it before the judge. He offered his blood and says, "I will redeem them. No matter what you've done, no matter how low you've been, or how far you feel you've fallen, or maybe you haven't, maybe there's people in your life that you know that they need mercy. Say, Jesus can do it. He's done it for me. He can do it for you." I thought this was wonderful. The first president of our beautiful United States, I read a book that made me go to New York City. My wife said, "How long are we going to be here?" I said, "About 6 hours." So it wasn't like, it was, but it did something to me. And when I read about George Washington and how that he took our brand new Congress and our all of our representative down to a church, and they prayed for our nation, and he prayed, and this was the prayer that he prayed for our United States, the brand new nation that we are. This is what he said: "God, we make our earnest prayer that thou will keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou will incline the heart of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination to obedience to government, to entertain the brotherly affection of love for one another, and for there follow citizens of the United States of America at large. And finally, that thou will most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to justice and to love mercy, to demean ourselves with a charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were characteristic to the divine author of the blessing religion, that without these examples in these things, we can never be a happy nation. Grant our supplication. We bless thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our president, our first president, prayed this. And one of the greatest things he said, that we will show mercy to one another when we've been hurt so badly. I can tell you some other stories in my life that are sad stories, but of breaking your heart. So many times family members break our hearts more than anybody else. It could be a dad, it could be a mom, it could be a brother, it could be a sister, it could be aunts, uncles. But sometimes we have to be the ones that forgive. I'll tell you a story. I had a real bad situation in my life where my mother left my father. And I'm young. And I seen my dad beating his fists on the table, crying. I never seen that before. But I loved my mom so much, and when this happened, love turned to hate. I didn't like her. I didn't want to be around her. She was gone. Dad was putting little signs up in the house, clean up and keep clean, you know, as a father trying to. And it hurt me really bad. So love turned to hate. And if we're not careful in our lives, this can happen. You may be sitting here with, they'll never hurt me again. That's where I was. They'll never hurt me again. My mother came back and cried all the time. I didn't care. She was never going to hurt me again. The day that she said she was going to leave, a guy told me that, and I beat him up really bad out on the street. I said, my mother's not leaving. I went in and I said, Mom, this is what this guy said. She said, oh, where'd you hear that? That night she left. So it just broke my heart. But what happened was mercy came into my life by an old man, and you probably remember him. Lucy, I know you do. Harry Manning. Remember, he was a fisherman. He big old deep voice. But he was in our church, and I was down there praying. After all this stuff had happened, and I was a Christian now, I felt that. But these things were in my heart. I was hurting so bad. Harry came down and knelt down beside me. You know, you always like somebody to kneel down beside you when you're praying. I just didn't like what he said. He said, Vic, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, what is that, Harry? He said, have you ever forgive your mother? Oh, I instantly was mad. I'd build a wall up she could not penetrate, no matter how much she tried. But at that moment, mercy walked into my life. One brick at a time, I was able to take down that wall of anger and pain. And I just said, God, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do this, but one brick at a time. And what was so wonderful, it came down, and I was able to go to my mom's house. I'd be able to take my kids there. I didn't want to take my kids even close to her before all this happened. But because mercy gave a second chance. Sometimes, if we're not careful, that thing that we hate so much will eat us alive. We have to be so careful that Jesus said, I want you to be an imitator of me. If I treated you the way you deserve, you'd be gone. But because my mercy endures forever, I created you and I love you. And we have to take that motivation that Jesus put in me, that when he told me when I was lost and I felt like there was no hope, he grabbed hold of me and said, you're mine. If we take that in all the situations that we have in our life and start saying, Jesus, you take it. I'm going to let your mercy involved in this situation. I'm going to allow you to help me forgive them. And in time it happened. And I lost my mom very suddenly. And I thank God that there was a man that came and made me mad when I'm down there kneeling praying and said, do you love your mother? What happened was that wall came down enough. I knew my mom, so when she was gone, I didn't have that feeling. And I know a lot of people have those feelings. They never had the chance. But Jesus didn't say to stop there, but he says, now be an imitator of me and don't let that happen anymore. So I encourage you, and one of the things that I wanted to say was, let me turn a few pages and it'll come. Where was it? We need to feel this mercy. And when you say that, some people are so hard, they don't feel nothing. They don't feel nothing. But it only takes a little crack, a word that can change our lives. Give us a second chance. And this is where I feel it's so important. As our president of the United States, in our very first, he said, Lord, I pray mercy on our nation. And what has God done? He's given us such mercy. We're the only country that I know that we've had all of our borders have been open. We haven't had to have all of it. It seems like things are changing now. But all these years, we've been protected by a hand that's far greater than military, that's far greater than anything like that. It's because God loved us, and he sees the value of us and what we're capable of. And because of that, we want to share. We want to give people that hope. But when you're dying inside, you've got to stop and say, hey, have you forgiven that person that's hurt you so bad? Jesus will do that and knock on our door all the time. Sometimes it's difficult, but I tell you, the second chance is the beginning of healing, is the beginning of healing. Gordon Mote sang this song, and one of the things before I'm going to have Matt play this, and I want you to hear the words. You've heard the words by what I've said, but I want you to listen to these words. And if you're here today and you're saying, Vic, I've needed somebody to tap on my shoulder. They say, have you forgiven this person? I need him to tap on my shoulder and say, you know what? The devil's a liar. He's the father of all lies. Jesus wants you to be a part of his family. And if you're here and you're thinking, you know, that's me. You don't have to be ashamed of that. But you have to address it. No second chances are given unless we're willing. Wouldn't it have been so terrible if that mother's son would have said, Mom, I'm sorry. I don't care what Napoleon says. I'm guilty. I'm going to go to prison. I'm going to die. What a terrible thing. But we do have a choice. And Jesus is our choice. He said, I will blot out your sins. And he said, how long? Forever. He said, I'll throw your sins in a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. That's how much he loves us, and that's what he wants to do.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up,
Your Honor.
I have no But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
Praise the Lord.
I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been saved? My chains were broken. I felt born again the moment that mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you, your greatest attribute is mercy. Thank you that you've walked into our lives. Is there any here that have never asked Jesus to come into their heart? Today is the day that mercy wants to walk into your life. I invite you to get to know this wonderful Jesus. I invite you, if you're here today and you've built these walls that are so high and so strong that nobody can penetrate, let mercy break in and start breaking that wall to where you can give that person or yourself a second chance. Lord, I thank you for this day. And I pray, Lord, that your message of mercy that is so important will just cover the sins of all of us and give us that hope that makes us know that change is awesome when we know you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.